ఎప్పటి నుంచో డౌట్ ఉంది, ఇది పరమహంస అని ఎవరిని అంటారు, దానికి పారామీటర్స్ ఏమన్నా ఉన్నాయా?
Yes. Yes. The word Hamsa has a very spiritual symbolism. If you reverse the word Hamsa, what does it become?
Soham.
When you are breathing in, what sound comes? So. I can't convey it. Like that. So. When you breathe out, hum, soham. If you repeat soham fast, what does it become? Hamsa.
Hamsa.
Oh, that is why it is called Tanno Hamsa Prachodayat. May that Paramatma, soham means that Paramatma. Ankan, this is called without knowing what is japa, ajapa japa, going on throughout from birth to death. And Paramahamsa means one who is intensely conscious, I am Brahman. That's why such people are called Paramahamsas. And Hamsa is also supposed to have some acid in its mouth. When you put milk in front of it, it discharges the acid. And then the watery Indian milk, that water goes away. What remains is what is called pure paneer, we call it. And it eats only the essential part of it. That is the idea. Anyway, Hamsa also is supposed to be, what is its color?
White.
Pure white.
Pure white.
So, for a swan, for all these reasons, our rishis have observed this and given the word Hamsa. Tanno Hamsa Prachodayat. Okay?
And who will be recognizing few people as Paramahamsa?
At least first let us become Hamsas. Discriminate between what is essential and give up what is non-essential. First let us become ordinary Hamsas. Then we will talk about Paramahamsas. But in the end everyone has to become a Paramahamsa. So unconsciously we are repeating our own nature. I am Brahman, I am Brahman. That is the idea. Aham Brahmasmi. Yeah.
Thank you.
Pranams, Maharaj.
Okay.
Maharaj, about the last statement that you were making, Matra Deva Bhava, Pitru Deva Bhava.
Yeah.
Parents are, like you said, parents are, most of the time, non-spiritual people, and sometimes, rarely spiritual, and they're also a mixture of both. So, when we have to revere them as God, at the same time, we will need to discriminate also. We can't follow everything that they say.
Correct.
We still need to discriminate.
Correct. Even if Guru says, supposing Sri Ramakrishna comes to me and says, hey, don't eat rasagullas. I salute him with the greatest reverence, offer rasagullas to him, but will not stop eating them. What I mean is, since they are ordinary people, each soul is potentially divine.
Yes, Lord.
And that is what we have to recognize. One day they are also going to be Paramahamsas or not.
Yes.
Imagine them as future Paramahamsas.
Hmm.
The idea is, I told you, target practice.
Mm-mm-mm.
But when it comes to practical affairs, if you know for certain some things which they are asking us to do is not right, don't follow them. Respectfully. Not insulting them. Not shouting at them. You follow your own counsel. You see. But we have ultimately, who is a Jivan Mukta?
One who knows who.
One who sees the whole world as?
Oh, Brahman.
Brahman, isn't it?
Yes, Maharaj.
That's why Sri Ramakrishna's teachings are so marvelous. He said, Apo Narayana, water is Narayana. But some water is fit for drinking. Some water for washing. Some water should never be touched. So practically, you have to be very practical. That is called practical Vedanta. A very long distance from evil people. But for a Jivan Mukta, no. It is only until we attain to that state. So, we have to start seeing Brahman everywhere. In fact, what happens is, who can see Brahman in mother and father? First we have to see within yourself.
Right.
If you don't have that Jnana Drishti, you are changing your drishti, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Sri Ramakrishna was the first example. His mother and brothers told, you can't give bhiksha to Dhani. What did he do? Disobeyed or not? Very respectfully.
Yes,
he must have touched their feet and said, no, firmly. So we have to adopt that method. Whatever is helpful, accept it. But when your mother tries to cook very tasty food, don't refuse. Okay?
Sure.
All yes. Right. Okay. Any other question?
Harit, second question. The concept of vyakta and avyakta.
Yeah.
When we discussed about Purnam Adaha and Purnam Idam. So, Purnam Adaha is infinite.
Yeah.
Idam is the manifested.
Adam means Brahman. Idam means Jiva or Jagat. Everything. So,
and then when,
infinity cannot be divided, isn't it?
Yes, Maharaj.
That's a, it is impossible. Infinite, zero minus zero, how much?
Zero.
Zero multiplied by zero is how much?
Zero.
Zero plus zero is how much?
Zero.
So, we are unable to understand that if God is everywhere, then everything must be God.
Yeah.
That is the idea. But for that, to have that understanding, that's why I told you that first of all, the teacher will not say, you look upon this. First he says, rituals, do rituals. So what do the rituals do? They will not give you time to mix with unholy people. And they will not allow you to think, because so many details are given, you have to do this and that. Even if you want to think something else, you can't do that. So therefore, they are trying to tell us how to focus the mind. But we have to go through those things, then go deep through the mind. That is the idea.
And when we say the soul, Maharaj, the birth is when it comes from avyakta to vyakta, unmanifest to manifest.
Yeah.
And then death means manifest back to unmanifest.
Correct.
But in the case of the jiva, avyakta does not mean infinite. It is still finite until the jiva merges fully in the Brahman.
No, you are misunderstanding. The idea is, with regard to our worldly experience, it is only vyakta and avyakta, isn't it?
Yes.
So you meet somebody suddenly. That person has come from vyakta or avyakta?
Vyakta.
No, no. What a mistake you are committing. You don't know. Suddenly you are not expecting him. He is somewhere. Suddenly he appears. So birth also is like that. Then afterwards he goes away. Death is like that. It doesn't mean he is dead, isn't it?
Oh.
That is the idea. So where was this baby before? And if you go from that immediate cause to its cause, finally you have to come to one ultimate cause, causeless cause. That is called Brahman. That is why these upasanas are slowly to take us from the many to the one. That is called identification with the larger whole, in other words, isn't it?
Yes, Maharaj.
So that is the purpose, special purpose of upasanas. Upa means nearer, nearer, nearer to whom? Nearer to God. Nearer to God means what? Nearer to your own self.
Yes, Maharaj.
That is the idea. So I am glad your hotel room is providing internet.
Yes, Maharaj.
After all, they are charging so much. They must provide. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj. Pranam, Swamiji Guruji Maharaj, Pranam.
Okay.
Just a quick question. You know, you mentioned about the Karma Khanda leading to Jnana Khanda and the bridge of Upasana Khanda, which actually, so symbolically, it's very beautiful. Then you've also mentioned that through this Upasana Khanda, because you immediately mentioned about the, you know, the symbol of cross, and it's to break the egotism. And I just wanted to know as to, on a day-to-day basis, as you continue with the Upasana Khanda, how am I to know when my ego is getting less and less or not?
Very easy. Extremely easy.
Uh-huh.
When you go through ups and downs, when it doesn't distract you from your goal, that means you are progressing. If somebody scolds you, you are not upset. On the other contrary, if somebody praises you, and that is a very rare phenomenon, you know.
praises or in dishonor, you are the same. It gets less and less, isn't it?
It's, correct.
Does it also mean that the desires also start getting less and less?
Yes, because that is called identification with others. Somebody, suppose you are very fond of eating sweets. When you progress in this upasana, when somebody else is eating these sweets, you feel the happiness of that person because you are identifying with that person.
Okay.
Actually, we do that. Every mother does it.
Uh-huh. Yes, true.